Some interesting responses. Los Angeles. May I say thank you for keeping your channel and radio broadcast pure? I agree so strongly with your condemnation of cooperative confusion, and I recognize just how strong and correct your judgment was to keep your broadcast fixed on your teaching of God's Word. You know, I did a PhD in philosophy of education, Stanford University. I used to attend every week a seminar where we had Jesuit trainees present, one Buddhist, a couple of John Dewey experimentalists, a couple of atheists, agnostics. We'd argue about everything. And we'd find areas that we could agree and try to work out from it. I changed majors on every degree, so I know a little bit about several things. I know how you can arrive at truth by discussion when nobody knows what the answer is. But my Bible says God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, to the work of the ministry, till we all come to a knowledge of the perfect man, till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. In my pastoring and biblical teaching ministry, you don't hear it from me until I have researched everything that can be researched and have come to a conclusion. And then I don't think I'm right. I know I'm right. I do not believe that God has given domatiles to the church to blow uncertain trumpets and give you options of spiritual direction. If you got an option, it's one of disagreement with me. I don't mind being disagreed with. Everybody has a right to be wrong. Doesn't bother me at all. You'd be just as wrong as you want to be. I mean, Jesus either came out of that tomb or he didn't. He didn't half and half it. I can tell you why that I became convinced he came out of the tomb. It isn't something to discuss, it's something to declare. I'm going to tell you what Luther said. If the whole world disagrees on the issue of who got the birthright, Joseph or Judah, and the whole world says Judah got it, then I'm against the whole world. You didn't get an uncertain voice out of Moses. You can get an uncertain voice out of Jeremiah. You didn't even get an uncertain voice out of David once he made his mind up. I commented on that this morning. It took him longer to make his mind up in his early career, but as his experience with God matured, he made it up soon. The church does not need Christian networks with 45 different theories of the atonement and 75 different prophecy teachers, all of whom are canceling each other out. It is not a matter of discussion whether or not the church goes up pre-trib in the middle of the week, after the week, whether premillennialism or amillennialism is accurate. The church is going up before God pours out its wrath. That's not open for debate. And any fool that believes otherwise ain't going up. I can assure you of that. You can be absolutely sure you'll find a church during the tribulation. Pat Robson will be pastoring one. He thinks the church is going through the tribulation. But I'm gone. And those that are in Christ are gone. The law's dead. I've been through this for years. I remember when I wrote my letter and withdrew from the denomination that was trying to groom me for leadership, and I saw the handwriting on the wall. We gave you your ministry, now you got to quit saying things that offend this presbyter's board of porkies down here in Louisiana. The church today needs a certain trumpet to be blown. I kid you about horsemanship, but you want to discuss horses. Okay, there's room for disagreement. You want to talk fishing, there's room for disagreement. You want to talk politics, there's room for disagreement. You want to talk scientific theories. You want to talk about the way home. You're not going to get from me, well, you might try this way or that way. Head down this damn road or you're lost, man. Is the only way to preach it. And that's why God has raised this network up with one voice. You think you know it all? No, but I know enough to get you there. You don't need to know it all, neither do I. You don't need to know where this road goes if it's the wrong road, just stay off of it. I remember I shared leadership at a Christian organization once, and there was a guy there. He was so proud of his photographic memory and his knowledge of detail that if he was going to preach on what Jesus said on the Emmaus Road, he would describe the flora, the strata, the geology, and every detail in route. By the time he got to what Jesus said, you hated the road and wished you'd stayed home. There's some things not worth talking about. We're not talking about humility. We're talking about light. Oh, this light's so much brighter than the rest of the people with the flashlight on the trail. I better cover it up lest I don't appear humble. What's wrong with the church today is there's too much squawking and too much static, not enough certainty being declared. If there's one thing a PhD training program teaches you, it's how much you don't know. You expand the circumference of your knowledge, and you are humbled by the vast breadth of the circle that's been expanded. But when it comes to God's Word, speak it with authority because you've done your homework and you know what you're saying. And anyone that's ever studied any subject knows that with knowledge comes opinion. As you come to know a subject, you are driven to the either-or decisions that it takes guts to make. I grew up around too many Bible teachers that were so afraid of being wrong they didn't have the guts to declare what was right. I sat here night after night for 17 years and said the whole church world was full of it as they laid a guilt trip on Christians who stood in front of the table of the Lord. The Bible says clearly we're to examine ourselves whether or not we be in the faith. But it doesn't say we're to examine ourselves to see if we're worthy as we partake of the elements of communion. Yet tens of thousands of you out there have bought that garbage as some ill-taught, bad communicator of Scripture has intoned in front of the elements that ought to bring us together at the table of the Lord with an understanding of God's grace and we come equally unmerited. You've had the guilt trip laid on you. You better examine yourself to see if you're worthy to partake. Paul never said that. I'm sorry. He said, don't partake unworthily. I knew the difference between an adjective and an adverb before I got out of high school. Unworthily is an adverb. It modifies the act, not the actor. Adverbs modify verbs. They add to verbs. They don't modify nouns. Paul was not talking about the worthiness of the participant. He was talking about the worthiness of the manner of partaking. Partaking unworthily, he defined as eating and drinking, not discerning the Lord's body. Your state of mind, your understanding, your frame of reference makes the same act done in a worthy manner or done in an unworthy manner. He didn't say a word about examine yourself to see if you're worthy. Examine your manner of partaking. He was addressing a church that had the agape feast that the Romans later barred. That went on before they partook of the Lord's Supper. And they would bring their elements to a house, and the rich would show off their plenty, and the poor would be embarrassed with their poverty. And they had their attention on themselves, their pride, their emotions. Everything was self-related. And some of them even got drunk in the agape feast or love feast. Then they'd tag on the Lord's Supper. I repeat, some of them drunk. And would partake of these elements, still caught up in their own self-identity with what they had brought to the love feast, some with pride, some with shame. And they never got past themselves to the elements that Jesus said, when you partake of these things, remember me. They weren't discerning what they were doing. They weren't discerning the meaning of the elements. And Paul said, you partake in this unworthy manner, you partake damnation to yourself. And 90% of the traditional preachers don't know the difference between krema and katakrama. Krema is a temporary punishment. Katakrama makes it ultimate. And Paul said, you have krema on you, temporary judgment, if you partake in an unworthy manner. And if you continue to do it, you will have katakrama, ultimate judgment, like that which comes on the world. But God, because you are partaking, not discerning, unworthily, you are partaking krema to yourself, temporary punishment. And for this cause, some are sick, weak, and die of those causes. It's the only place in Scripture, New Testament, that God himself either allows or places sickness because of an act that he disapproves of. Sickness, weakness, and death from that cause. You eliminate the need of that discipline. And the reason for that sickness, weakness, and death from that cause, temporary punishment, is to get your attention so you don't keep doing it, because if you do, you'll end up with katakrama, which is ultimate judgment. Get your attention. Partake in a worthy manner. Partake worthily. No need for the sickness, because if you discern, no need for the sickness from that cause. Because if you discern the Lord's body as you partake, and remember him, and appropriate the benefits, you are partaking worthily. And part of the discernment that makes you partake worthily is to discern all of us, from the Pope to the worst criminal in town, are all unworthy, made worthy by the blood of the Lamb, which means this is as good a time as any to partake of those elements. So come and help me here, Reggie. I hadn't planned to do it this way, but with that speech, why not partake now? And as you have the elements in the home, you who watch me constantly know, each night we go to the table of the Lord. And I repeat, Paul did say, he that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Damnation, translating the word krema. Temporary punishment. The Greek has a way of changing the meaning of words by adding a letter. or a few letters. Faith, for example, the word in the Greek is pistis. You want to make it go the opposite direction. Disbelief. You add the Greek letter A. There's nothing in between. You either have pistis, which is faith, or apistis, which is the other direction. Gnostic, knowledge. Agnostic, add the A, uncertain about everything. Kata is a similar kind of prefix. You have something temporary, you want to make it permanent, you put kata in front of it. Krema is the judgment. The King James uses condemnation, damnation, judgment. All of the words translate the same word, krema, in that passage in 1 Corinthians 11. You eat and drink unworthily. You eat and drink krema to yourself. You take these elements and fail to discern their meaning. You are therefore eating and drinking, not discerning the Lord's body, and you're partaking unworthily, and you're in danger of the temporary punishment of sickness and weakness because of that. Had nothing to do with being unworthy. You are made worthy when you discern this cup carries in it the symbol of Christ's blood. The life of the soul resides in the blood. He poured out his life unto death. And that was an adequate payment for all of our sins. We therefore are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb. And as we discern and remember that Christ, one worth enough to stand in for all of us put together, poured out his blood unto death that we might live, by discerning that, recognizing it, taking it by faith and saying, thank you, Lord, for your grace, we are made worthy by the blood of the Lamb as we partake together in Jesus' name. No need for krema, temporary punishment. That's why there's two elements here. He not only poured out his blood unto death, he was beaten with 39 stripes. And the Lord laid on him our sicknesses and our infirmities. And Isaiah 53 in the verb form has him lifting those sicknesses and infirmities off of us. As our sins were placed on him, so were our sicknesses. And as we discern, the bread is added to these elements that we might claim by faith, with his stripes ye were healed. You are discerning the benefits as you remember his broken body as well as his shed blood. And you are partaking worthily and receiving the benefits that remove the cause of krema, sickness and weakness, because of failure to appropriate this which is also God's gift, healing. Because his body was bruised, and I repeat, with his stripes ye were healed. Take it in Jesus' name.